It's us, Colleen and Bradley, on the Colleen and Bradley Show, My Talk 107.1. Streaming live at mytalk1071.com. Everything entertainment. Colleen Lindstrom, Bradley Trainer.
Well, hello there.
Well, hey, how's it going? Here's the question we're asking you. How old were you when you moved out of your parents' house? And what did you move into? That's the thing I'm more excited about. Like, what was your first living arrangement? Did you have roommates? Did you move in with a family member? Did you live in a one-room apartment that didn't have running water? Where did you live? 651-641-1071. Do you want to know why I'm asking?
I mean, I would prefer to know.
Cool. I'll tell you. So the headline from the World of News: study finds Minneapolis has fewest young adults living with mom and dad. And this is due to a study done by Magnify Money. And, you know, in recent years, there's been a lot of conversation about how more and more, because of the price of college, because of the job market, because of the economy, et cetera, more people are living at home with their parents for a lot longer.
Yeah.
Well, not so in Minnesota, not so in the city of Minneapolis. The practice of young adults living with their parents is less likely in Minneapolis than anywhere else in the top 50 cities in the United States of America, which I find very interesting. So that just got me thinking, like, because we had rules at my house. Like, my parents were basically like, we will never, ever let you like go completely homeless or hungry. However, when you turn 18, well, no, I think it was when I graduated from college, they were like, you get 3 months to get your you know what together. And then you got to figure out what your living arrangement is going to be. 651-641-1071. How old were you when you moved away from your parents, and what did you move into?
We have callers on the line.
Yay!
Hey! Those callers.
Let's go to Ron first.
Hi, Ron.
Hi, Ron.
Ron, how old were you when you moved out of your parents' house, and what did you move into?
17.
17 years old.
Yep.
And where'd you move?
Me and my brother rented a house, and we bought it at 18.
That's awesome. How long did you own that house for?
For a few years, and I sold out to my brother, and then I bought another house.
See, there you go.
There you go.
That's a great investment.
Got started early.
Yeah, well, I didn't have a choice. Yeah, well,
thank you.
Parents are like that.
Thank you, Ron. Yeah, no kidding. I mean, you know, you got to get out there and do the thing. Who else do we have there, Holly?
We have Jack.
Hi, Jack.
Hi, Jack.
Jack, where did you move to, and how old were you?
Well, the first time I was 18, I went to college, but then I moved back after graduating, and then I moved out again, and then I moved back, and then I moved out again, and then I moved back, and then I moved out again.
Oh, wow.
Okay, so final time.
Oh, the final time, I was 49.
Okay.
No, yeah, 49. I moved back in because my dad... We didn't want to put him in a nursing home, so we had to take care of him before he passed from Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
So I moved back in to help out.
That is such a lovely, lovely thing, and I'm glad you had that time together.
Absolutely.
But okay, so let's like rewind the tape then. The first time, what'd you move into? And how old were you?
I went to college at 18, but then I graduated. I went out west and did ministry, but then I came back for a time up in Carlton County, and then I went to work on dairy farms.
Oh my gosh!
I feel like Jack's got stories.
I know.
I have tons of stories.
I bet. Seriously, from ministry to a dairy farm. Yeah. Thank you for calling, Jack. And good luck out there on your own. Who do we have on the phone, Holly?
We have Carol.
Hi, Carol.
Hey, Carol.
Carol, how old were you when you moved out of your folks' house, and where did you move to?
I have two quick stories, and it's so funny that you gave this topic right now. I have a granddaughter that's 20 years old. She moved out of her parents' home into a house that she purchased telling anybody. And she's in Hudson, and she's happy, and, you know, it went fine. It went so fast, and it was just, but then I have a nephew that has an older brother. The nephew is 19, the brother is 21, and a friend of the brother's is living at their house. Well, he decided, same thing, I'm going to move out of the house. Oh. So he went and signed a year lease with somebody in a not-so-nice part of town, and he is so sorry. He's been there about a month.
Oh.
And he just hates it.
Yeah.
And then he's upset because his parents let the kid that moved in take his bedroom.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
Oops.
Yeah. But it's another story. How can they let an 18-year-old sign a year's lease?
Well, you know, it's certainly, thank you for your call, Carol.
Thanks,
it certainly
Carol.
Is one of those things where you know, the grass may be greener. You got to
sometimes you got to learn, you know,
options.
At least he's learning some life lessons.
Yeah, there, like, you go.
You know, that story.
Next
remember
time
that
we'll...
time I did that thing?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. And, you know, maybe next time there will be a different choice.
Yeah.
Hmm. How old were you when you left home and moved out, Bradley? And what'd you move
into? I moved out when I was 18.
Yeah.
I came back one summer. And then I was like, yeah, I'm not doing this ever again.
Yeah.
Because I'm
fun,
not living
not
under
fun.
My parents' roof. So, yeah, no.
Did you live in some, like weird apartments?
Weird.
You know
no.
what I mean? Like, because, like, when you're younger, you do weird living arrangements.
I had roommates.
Right.
Don't get me wrong. I mean, I lived in several roommate situations and learned how miserable it is to live with roommates, so.
I mean, one of my roommate situations, I lived in a very small house with 7 girls, including myself.
That sounds like a recipe for
It no. was actually, like, a super fun year, but also... It was a very messy and dirty. And
how many arguments were there about dishes in the sink?
Oh, they were probably all directed at me. I hated washing the dishes.
Oh.
And like everybody had, like, we had one roommate who was like, I don't want to have to pay for water, so please don't flush the toilet. And
yeah.
we were all like, I was like, I'm going to not be on that program. And so if you'd like for me to chip in an extra
$10. My roommate who was from Mongolia, and she would call her Mongolian boyfriend and stay on the phone for hours, and then she left without paying the phone bill. And so when she left, our phone got cut off because we couldn't afford to pay her phone bill for her. Because this was at a moment in life when you were, like, literally scrimping and saving to try to, you know, make sure you could have gas.
Kids understand
to cook, not to, you know.
Yeah. What long distance was. Like, they don't understand.
You kids don't have any idea.
Honestly, like, you know, I've tried to explain to my kids, like, when I was young, when I lived in Boston for a summer, when I wanted to call home, I had to pay long distance. It was a long, so I would call for like 3 minutes and just be like, everything's fine, I'm fine, bye, okay, bye. We didn't have email.
Or, you know, like, your parents would be like, call collect.
Right.
And, you have to reverse the charges.
Oh, that's so weird. My parents never actually asked me to call collect.
Oh, womp womp.
No, we had a baby, Bob. We had a baby. It's a boy.
No.
Oh God.
Holly,
hello,
oh
1980s.
My gosh. That is so funny. Yeah, that was a commercial for I think baby, it's MCI, a boy? Which was a long distance calling company, and they were talking about how expensive long distance calling is. So the guy, when he entered his name to call collect, he said, "My name is Bob. We had a baby, it's a boy." See, get it? It was great. Oh, what a great commercial. All right. When we come, memories. When we return on the Colleen and Bradley show, turns out Ellen DeGeneres actually is the boss from hell. We'll tell you what we know about it after this on My Talk 107.1. So Ellen DeGeneres is a terrible, horrible boss, and now we know. This is the Colleen and Bradley show, My Talk 107.1, streaming live at mytalk1071.com, everything entertainment. Colleen Lindstrom, Bradley Trainer.
Oh, it's so terrible and horrible.
Okay, so how bad is she?
Well,
how bad is she?
Apparently she's so bad, she made her household workers clean the coffee maker after every use.
Okay, so we started this story yesterday, meaning we read the headline during the show and had a little chat about it during a Dirt Alert update, but now it's time to dig a little deeper into what a horrible boss Ellen DeGeneres was in the household.
The first thing we must do is just remind folks, if they haven't heard already, that Ellen is slated to address the backstage drama on her show, of course. because she wants the ratings for her crappy behavior.
Of course.
I mean,
yeah, we should reward her for that.
Somehow Yay. Maniacal. Like, I'll tell you all about my toxic workplace
on my show.
Tune in September 21st. Anyway, that's happening. I can't wait to get back to work and back to our studio. And yes, we're going to talk about it. Although one wonders if she's really going to talk about the stuff that was dropped in the Daily Mail story, which includes an exclusive interview with a woman who used to, or I guess I just assumed a woman. And that is a misogynist way of thinking. Mm-hmm. It could have been a man. Mm-hmm. Someone who worked for Ellen DeGeneres at one of her homes said all sorts of salacious tiddly bits that we should dig into.
Let's dig into these tiddly bits.
Tiddly bits. Well, apparently her top assistants are thought to earn anywhere from like, or I should say anywhere up to like $175,000 a year.
Okay, that's some good money. I might put up with some stuff.
Said the source, quote, "Ellen was a hero of mine. I thought she was an amazing person, but before I took the position, people warned me not to take it. I was told that she had a very high turnover rate and that I should stay under the radar as much as possible, avoid as much direct contact with Ellen as possible. Working there was described as being more like boot camp." Now, she said, "When I interviewed with Ellen and Portia, I felt much better about the job. They were both charming, funny, perfectly lovely. I was a little nervous, but it was well paid." The source then says that the harsh reality of Ellen's regime soon became clear, with staff being confronted each morning with a laundry list of passive-aggressive notes listing what the entertainer didn't like about the previous day. Would you like to know some of the violations?
Yes!
The violations included, but were not limited to, a chef using a guest toilet, a maid forgetting to put a piece of trash in recycling.
I'm going to need to rewind. Did the chef have a special toilet to use?
Maybe it's the chef's toilet.
Is there a chef's toilet?
Chef, the toilette de cuisine.
Okay, don't.
Ooh, de toilet.
Ish.
Ew. De toilet.
You de toilette.
The wrong toilet.
Okay. So, and then somebody else, another household employee, put a piece of trash in the recycling?
Yep. Ellen is apparently, this is again a quote from the insider who spoke to at length the Daily Mail. Ellen is terribly obsessive compulsive, and if anything is out of order in her environment, she gets upset.
Okay, so I'm sorry.
Yeah, no,
I need to pause on that.
Please pause.
That might be something in life that would be a hindrance. If you find yourself actually being cruel to other people because you're such a control freak and they don't do things your way, like, that, well, you might want to talk to somebody.
Guess what? If you behaved that way, I would tell you about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're Ellen DeGeneres, people aren't going to tell you about yourself. So, again, it's just that whole thing. This, and it's not just Ellen. Ellen is just the latest example of power and influence, right? Mm-hmm. There might be 20 to 30 things every day. We're talking about the finest details. A salt shaker out of place. A light switch left on. She wanted the coffee maker deep cleaned every day after complaining that there was too much or too little froth in her latte.
Oh, okay.
Hate when that happens.
Now, here's the one that I thought was interesting. She would leave matchsticks around the house behind cupboard doors, cushions, or books to see if the staff was cleaning and moving things. One day, the staff found around 8 of them all in weird places. The rest of the day became a race to find them all before she got home and fired someone.
Okay, that's... No.
Can I just tell you, if somebody put a matchstick... Also, matchstick? Who has matchsticks? I guess, if you know, she's probably for like candles and stuff.
She's big into candles.
Yeah, she likes those candles. Because I don't feel like she smokes with matchsticks.
No, probably
right?
not.
Although, who knows? But I feel like at the point that you're like trying to, because occasionally, right, like I could see if I were a fancy rich person who wanted to like.
Let's play with that fantasy a little bit longer.
Like, mm-hmm. I'm going to have Colleen, you're going to be my.
Of course I am.
You're going to be my Cinderella.
Of course I am. Mm-hmm.
Only for the purpose of this.
Of course. Yes.
Imaginary game.
Of course. Absolutely.
And I was like, I want to know if Colleen's really dusting behind the vase.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I would just pull up the vase and swipe a fingy, and then I would run to you, or I would take a photo of my dusty fingy and send it to you and be like, really? really. Do better.
Or
look at my dusty fingy.
Or you would just, like, you know, the next opportunity say, hey, I just wanted to go over some of the expectations of this job.
Yeah.
I did notice, and it's fine. I understand people make mistakes.
Yeah.
But I was able to run my hand up top on that shelf, and it doesn't seem like you've dusted up there.
Or how about this?
And I just need you to move things and then dust and then put them back. It's all,
how about this? Just like, oh my God, would you totally do me the flavor next time of dusting behind the vase? I can't imagine the last time those have been dusted. Mm-hmm. It's like, who even thinks about that? If you could, I know you've got like 30 other things on your list. Oh my God, that would be amazing. Mm-hmm. Now, if you didn't do it, then I would come for you.
Then watch out.
No, I'm kidding.
Then it's
but like at the point that you're hiding matchsticks, oh, like you are ridiculous. A sadist, which also what is totally believable about Ellen. Why?
Because she likes to do all those.
Because Ellen's jokes. Game of games. Have you watched this type of sadism that she takes glee in?
She's the worst. I can't
but she has
wait
some
for
things
to address
about.
This on her show.
She thinks she's going
to
talk about the matchsticks.
September 28th, everybody.
First.
Check your local listings. Oh, whatever. I guess I directed people to the wrong show. When we come back on the Colleen and Bradley show, we've got celebrities behaving even worse than Ellen. Lord and Lady D-Bag after this. This is the Colleen and Bradley show, My Talk 1071, streaming live at MyTalk1071.com. Everything Entertainment. Colleen Lindstrom, Bradley Trainer.
Hi.
Hey, how's it going?
Well, I am so fabulous right now.
Oh my gosh. Well, I'm going to make your life even better because we've got some celebrities behaving badly to talk about. We call them
D-Bag.
Presenting Lord and Lady Douchebag of the Day.
Who's your D-Bag, Bradley?
Oh, God, I can't right now.
Well, you're going to have to figure it out because we got a whole show to do. So you should probably turn that can't into a can.
I mean, I was just trying to put some emphasis on the story. Khloe Kardashian.
Oh. Bing, bong.
Frequent flyer. I almost said Kim. Khloe Kardashian is my D-bag today because of the following headline. True Thompson 2, that's as in her age, gets a parking garage for her $2,000 mini Bentley and more on the home edit.
Mini Bentley?
No. Unacceptable.
This child now has a parking garage for her fancy child vehicles.
Okay, can I ask more about these fancy
child vehicles? Sure, please, because I will decidedly rip a new one for...
Oh. Are these little child vehicles like the ones that, like the little mini Jeeps? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh my gosh. How many of those suckers
thank you.
Does that baby have?
That's why she needs a vehicle placeholder. What do we call that? A garage.
A garage. Yeah. Vehicle placeholder, also a.k.a.
A garage.
Thank you.
This child now has a garage. For her exclusive mini cars.
No.
Now, you know that Khloe loves to organize. Am I right?
Well, I mean, apparently she does.
Khloe, apparently, and was this from some TV experience? It's called The Home Edit, ladies, Clea and Joanna.
Yeah, that's a new show on Netflix.
Okay, so apparently if you'd like to see Khloe's new luxury vehicle garage for her two-year-old child, you can on an episode of The Home Edit.
Does she parallel park those things or herself?
The garage is filled with painting accessories, gifts, and all of True Thompson's mini cars.
No.
True has a better car collection than Khloe. Khloe leaves it up to Clea and Joanna to figure out the car situation, so they section off each of True's cars with their own spaces with ballerina blush pink tape. They also add miniature parking cones to complete True's parking garage. This mini car collection includes a sparkling pink mini Bentley that starts for a minimum of $2,000, as well as a white mini Bentley that she got from Kimora Lee Simmons.
So,
you guys,
this child does not stand a chance.
I hate to say eat the rich, but when you read stories,
I got an appetite now.
When this, ay ay ay.
It's unreal. Also, I have so many other curiosities about the other things I'm seeing in the photographs.
Well, I hope you're talking about the... I don't want to... Okay, what are you going to say?
I mean, all of it, like the umpty-foo high chairs that apparently need to be stored in a garage, but also the bins and bins and bins of who knows what's in there.
Well, that's why I said, you know, Chloe loves organization. And in fact, there was a period where she like went on this whole organizational kick. I think she has some OCD.
Check her Instagram. There was a whole, she did this whole thing with like color organization. And we were like, no.
I will say, and I'm just going to be judgy. Uh-huh. That's what I'll do. All
right.
But as somebody who likes a good organized space, I kind of feel like they could have done a little better.
I mean, it's not, it doesn't look good.
I feel like you could have gone to Home Deeps and come up with that.
Are we saving time by a breeze?
Yes.
You could put your fits in those orgs.
What?
Fits?
Oh, outfits. Orgs and the organizations?
Gotcha.
I don't know. Anyway, carry on. The moral of the story is, I feel like it doesn't look very good. Also, black traffic cones. To organize the vehicles?
Well, I mean, it's got to be the, you know, everything that I see is pink or black or white. So it's real. It's got to be on brand. You can't have the orange ones. That would look real gaudy. You know?
God, what a life.
I can't even imagine.
This space, by the way, is it a garage?
I'm not sure what it is, but also I see that space and I think about 10 other things that I would want to do with a space that big.
And I just feel
tells you that she has so many of those spaces that she can actually spare one to be her kid's baby garage.
And to be fair, and I don't know what's off camera, but I see at least 2, 4, 6, 8 vehicles there for her 2-year-old child.
Mm-hmm.
That child has 8 cars.
Eight cars. I see 2 scooters. You don't need 2.
There's a Mercedes.
I see
Bentley.
Like a big wheel experience. That's not the kind of big wheel I
was going to say. That ain't
when
no
I
big
was a
wheel.
Child. Okay. Oh. I mean, we're not judging.
Yes, we are. Full on. Totally. 100%.
Absolutely judging.
And in the home edit, you can watch other celebrities get their homes organized, like Rachel Zoe, Reese Witherspoon, and everyone's favorite,
Harris. I love a good organizational moment, but I just feel like this is not their best work.
Mm-mm.
Also, if you're organizing your kids' luxury vehicles, I mean,
yeah. If you have so many luxury vehicles to organize, exactly. I don't have time for that.
How many luxury vehicles do your children own?
0. Okay. Unless you call their like skateboards luxury vehicles.
Did you ever buy them one of those like motorized things that go like?
No, and I don't hate those things. I do hate those. I don't hate them. If I had more land, I would buy one secondhand on Craigslist. I would not buy one of those things new. Yeah. No.
No, you would buy it on Marketplace.
Yeah.
Facebook Marketplace
or Craigslist. Sure. But not. No, I don't have a place for that. That's the other thing. I don't have a place for that. I don't have a place for
that.
That's
because you don't have
it.
No luxury garage.
I don't have any luxury. Okay. I would like to name my D-bags today online trolls.
All of them?
Yeah.
Okay. Who's trolling today?
Specifically, the trolls that are idiots who came at Kaylee Cuoco.
Oh, God, don't get me started with her.
Well, it's not even actually like I actually admire her for what she was doing. So she's an anti-D-bag because she was doing the right thing. She was working out and she was like, you guys, I have this whole new workout that I love to do. Here it is. And it's literally her jumping rope. And I'm like, yeah, jumping rope. That's awesome. Get it, girl. The reason why I'm calling out the trolls is because Kaylee Cuoco on her Instagram while she's jumping her rope is wearing, what is she wearing on her face?
Mask.
A mask. And because that's what we're doing right now. So the caption is my newest obsession during COVID/quarantine. All you need is 20 minutes of jump rope and good music. And then the commenters showed up and one of them was like, you're wearing a mask because why? Mind your own business, Instagram commenter. Another one wrote, you don't need a mask when you work out, smiley face.
I mean, God, come up with something like worthwhile to criticize, please.
Another one said, don't use mask to exercise. CO2, nice going. Okay. What? Well, I don't really. So
like she's going to asphyxiate herself with her mask.
Think. Now, let me just, I just would like to draw people's attention to some important things. Number one. You don't need a mask when you work out. Okay, well, people don't necessarily wear masks when they work out. It is not required, I guess.
No.
The point is that you do exert the droplets when you're working out. So if somebody chooses to wear a mask.
Yeah, nobody cares.
Nobody cares. And so she responded, for everyone in their mask comments, I wear a mask when I'm in an enclosed space around others, which I was. I'm protecting myself and everyone around me. That's why I choose to wear a mask. Thanks for playing. Also, that piece about the CO2, I mean, there is a lot of research. There was a guy who ran a flipping marathon with a mask on his face.
And yeah, also, you're much more likely to die from COVID than wearing a mask.
Yeah, so anyway, Kaylee Cuoco, girl, you wear your mask.
Yeah, and again, you just wear man, if you're following the rules and regulations, do you.
But all the people who, like, just let the girl be. She knows what she's doing. If she wants to put a mask on, let her put on the mask. It's all good.
Yeah.
Also, in general, mask. Thank you. Other people did actually come to her defense. Not that she was asking for it or needed it, but a lot of people are like, it's all good. It's not dangerous. If you listen to your body, she's going to feel fitter exercising, et cetera, et cetera. Mask wearing protects others and yourselves. Blah, blah, blah. Have at it, Kaylee Cuoco. Keep wearing that mask. Keep jumping that rope. I'm done now.
I mean, I don't have anything to say. I'm not a fan of Kaylee Cuoco, but I'm glad that she is doing her thing.
Well, I've got another D-bag.
You have another D-bag?
Yeah.
Okay.
But we don't have time to talk about it right now, so we're going to do a D-bag double down.
Oh, I was like, what are you doing right now?
I'm doing the show. When we come back on the Colleen and Bradley Show on My Talk 107.1. This is the Colleen and Bradley Show, My Talk 107.1, streaming live at MyTalk1071.com. Everything Entertainment. Colleen Lindstrom, Bradley Trainer.
What up?
We had so many D-bags, we had to create another space for all the D-baggery. It's a D-bag double down.
Presenting Lord and Lady Douchebag of the Day.
Who else is on that bag of D-list?
Kirstie Alley.
Oh, that lady.
Is that what you're going to call her?
Don't even get me started.
Well, I'm going to have to Okay, so yesterday. The Academy revealed updated standards for their 2025 initiative on films that are eligible to win the Oscar for Best Picture.
Okay.
So starting in 2024... The Oscar nominations, the films that are nominated for Best Picture, will have to meet two of four standards. Okay. So I'll list out the four standards, and they have to meet at least two of them in order to be eligible for Best Picture.
Yep.
This is all part of the diversity kind of push toward diversity, which has been an issue. And we've talked about it for many years.
Yep.
Okay, so the four criteria are on-screen representation themes and narratives, inclusion and diversity is like the main theme of these. So on-screen representation, themes and narratives, creative leadership and project team, industry access and opportunities, and audience development. And so these will all take full effect at the 96th Oscars in 2024. And this is all part of the push to encourage equitable representation on and off screen in order to better reflect the diversity of the movie going audience. Okay. So this is what the Academy puts forward. And then our friend Kirstie Alley shares her opinion, which nobody asked for.
I bet it's
going to
be very thoughtful and well-informed.
This is a disgrace to artists everywhere. Can you imagine telling Picasso what had to be in his bleeping paintings? You people have lost your minds. Control artists, control individual thought. Oscar Orwell. She then, by the way, deleted the tweet.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. Because she's good at that. But then she later wrote, I've been in the Motion Picture Academy for 40 years. The Academy celebrates freedom of, all caps, unbridled artistry expressed through movies. The new, all caps, rules to qualify for, quote, Best Picture are dictatorial anti-artist. Hollywood, you're swinging so far left, you're bumping into your own booty, she said ass.
Okay, I would like to have an opinion. Do you have an opinion? I don't want to step on your opinion.
I do, but can I tell you really quick one more thing? The first person that had a great opinion was Ava DuVernay, who responded with a GIF, which you can go look at, to which Kirstie Alley then responded, I ask you to explore my record of diversity and inclusion in anything I have produced and throughout my life. I'm not perfect, but I have fought for human and civil rights for 50 years. I just don't agree with mandated impossible to police quotas as a prerequisite for a best picture. So she will have, you know, she's been doing stuff. No, that's actually my first beef. Kirstie Alley, girl, what have you done? What are you doing? That's all. Go ahead.
What have you done? Also, too, and mm-hmm. This is not anyone trying to control artists. This is like, hey, if you want to join our arbitrary framework and institution that we've created for the industry known as the film and movie industry, mm-hmm. come on along and submit your films according to the rules that we've arbitrarily set up to deal with this arbitrary institution and industry. Thank you. And
also,
if you don't want to do that, nobody is telling anybody who makes a film that they have to do anything.
No,
this is simply an industry responding to, I think, systemic problems that they've dealt with since their arbitrary inception in the year 1920 and something, when, you know, not all Americans had their full and complete civil rights. Thank you. And
also, in all categories, there are criteria that allow any movie or person or actor or actress to be nominated within that category. These are just some more guidelines.
Yeah, and this is not, again, this is not like submitting your award. People do this. People like Kirstie Alley do this thing all the time where they say, hair on fire, pants on fire, we're all on fire. This is, you know, the end of civilization. No, nobody is taking anything away from Kirstie Alley. Mm-mm. To your point, I don't know what she's been creating lately that she's feeling like she's been stopped.
She's so protective.
She just likes to yell counter to whatever the majority of people are talking about. She is one of those people. Her whole reason for being is to be obnoxious in the face of some real issues, mm-hmm. right? Like, because then she thinks like she's being countercultural. Also, she's a Scientologist. Mm-hmm. That tells you everything you should know about how she deals with criticism and critiquing the world around her.
Mm-hmm.
So nobody is stopping Kirstie Alley from not making any films that she's never made because she doesn't make any films because she has lemurs and yells at people on social media all day.
That takes a lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's stopping you from doing anything. It's not George Orwell anything. If you want to make a movie and then you want to add it to the list of movies considered for an Oscar, well, you're going to have to meet certain industry rules and regulations.
Also, let's just sit with that idea for a hot second. The idea of Kirstie Alley making a movie that is eligible for Best Picture. I just don't think that's achievable.
Also, if you're an artist, do you think Picasso would be like, I would like to submit this painting to the Academy Awards of Painting?
Well, that's the thing.
Pablo Picasso would be like, well, actually, I don't know Pablo Picasso personally or what his personality was really like, but I would imagine that any committed artist would be like, middle fingers to all of you and your stupid awards.
Because actors typically are one of the only real artists, quote, artists, who are so hell-bent on getting recognized for their ability to art, you know?
Yeah.
For many people, they do art for the art of it, art for art's sake, not to be recognized by a bunch of, I mean, I'm telling you, these award shows are just like navel-gazing at its finest, and I love to watch it. Do not get me wrong.
Well, no, and I think that, you know, look, you can have the Oscars, but you have to understand what the Oscars is. Nobody is saying that the Oscars is like the be-all and end-all. Now, culturally, it's significant and it's important. And the reason that diversity and inclusion is important in this in this system, even though you could argue that the system overall is somewhat arbitrary, is because if you are going to have an arbitrary system, right, look at all of them around us, mm-hmm, you at least have to be fair and inclusive. You don't just get to say, we're going to have this like arbitrary club, but we're only going to invite certain people with certain ideas. I mean, right, honestly, they are trying to make this arbitrary institution even more responsive to the world around them. I don't think that's a bad thing at all. But it's certainly not something like that a, quote, artist is going to be frustrated by. They were frustrated about the Academy long before Kirstie Alley ever showed up.
Also, in conclusion, Kirstie Alley, I mean, I'm not saying you don't get to have an opinion about things that you're not actively participating in, but I'm kind of saying you don't get to bloviate on your opinion in an arena that you are not actively engaging.
Yeah, she's just trying to be contrary.
That's the thing. Like you said, she loves to come at us with her hair on fire. That woman.
I mean, the last thing on her IMDb is she appeared in an episode of the TV show The Goldbergs.
Nice.
And before that, she did a few episodes of Scream Queens. I mean, this is not someone...
Will she be earning Best Actress for those?
No.
She's on a TV movie called You Can't Take My Daughter.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
And again, good job. You know,
good,
she had
ya,
a career, but
yeah,
stop setting your hair on fire.
Yeah, we're not in the mood. When we return on the Colleen and Bradley show, I missed the very beginning of the show. And so I did not get the opportunity,
yes,
to have a discussion about the biggest news of the day. Honestly, honestly, my husband texted me about this yesterday. He said, you didn't tell me that Keeping Up with the Kardashians is going to go away forever.
Wow, you failed your husband.
He said, I you think you know a person. I was like, the news just broke. Give me a moment. I need to digest this. We're going to digest it together. Keeping Up with the Kardashians, gone bye-bye in the car. We'll talk about that when we come back on the Colleen and Bradley Show on My Talk 107.1.